This podcast is brought to you by AvWeb.com, world's premier independent aviation news resource.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from Air Venture 2018 in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I'm with Dan Johnson, head of the Light Aircraft Manufacturers Association. Dan, you've just given a presentation on some regulatory changes that are afoot. But the big surprise yesterday is we heard about a weight increase for light sport, which was quite a surprise. So it's not on the eve of happening, but it's getting closer. So my question is, what's that going to mean for the industry?
Well, I think it means some fairly significant things, but the way they're going about it, I think, is just the right way, Paul. They are going to go away from a number, which today is 1320 for land planes and 1430 pounds for seaplanes. That number will disappear, and it will be a formula that is used to arrive at it. Some people say, oh, you mean wing loading, and it's not actually wing loading, but it's that kind of thing that says there are other parameters you can describe, stall speed, for example, that then dictate the maximum weight of a certain kind of aircraft, but without putting a number on it. This is a big deal because two reasons. Those that have aircraft that are more capable, can hold a larger weight or something, can go ahead and build to a higher weight. But those who have been building to the 1320, 1430 numbers won't be effectively disenfranchised by saying, oh, well, now everybody's going to build to a higher weight, so I have to as well. And you don't just decide you're going to make an airplane carry more weight. There's a lot of work to be done there. So it's great the way they're going at it, and we're very appreciative. It did surprise us, I'll admit. Recently, I knew there was talk about it. I didn't think it was very likely to go through, but I've seen it on the documents. This is going to be something that they're doing with regulation change 3 to 5 years from now before we see it, but we have an interim plan.
So give me a for example here. Suppose we'll talk about the legacy in a minute, but first on a newly manufactured light sport airplane, what might those weights go to?
Well, I could envision them getting as high as 1,650 pounds or possibly even more. I wouldn't be surprised to see it turn out to be something like VLA in Europe, which is 750 kilos, which I think translates to about the numbers I just said anyway. But there's already a lot of knowledge about that. But here's one of the key things that we've told FAA with our four initiatives, plus the one we're just describing now, and that is, FAA, we know you need data to make regulation change. FAA doesn't just decide this stuff on their own. They have to go pass it by the Department of Transportation, their own legal department, things like that. So they need to be able to sell their own ideas for regulation change. And for that, they say they need data. LAMA has gone to them and said, we'll help you collect that data if you'll allow the industry to do some of these things under situation control circumstances yet to be described. So we're not there yet, but we're much closer than I expected to be. And we get the opportunity to do things. Various people do it. They report data. We collect the data. We give it to FAA. Then FAA has what they need to sell the regulation change. And in 3 to 5 years or so, we should see these things put into actual regulation in written form.
Well, as you know, because I've talked to you about this, I've done a lot of research on accidents. And part of the problem was small fleet, small data. So how much data can they meaningfully get? How much do they want?
I can't say how much they want. Engineers have various parameters for what they think is the right amount of data to do stuff. But right now they have, for example, none in electric propulsion. There's nobody operating these things that way. So they don't have anything really to work with to say, well, how much should we allow? How much battery weight is the right weight, for example? Or what size of these motors should we permit if we need to put a parameter on it? One way to learn that stuff is by letting people basically go experiment. And they've said in the past, well, you can already do all that by experimental aircraft. And yes, you can. The trouble is then you have everyone doing it somehow differently rather than a whole bunch of them that are being done some way where the data becomes more valid and relevant.
How about the impact on legacy airplanes that can be flown under the sport pilot rule?
You mean standard category aircraft?
Yeah.
I don't know what will happen with them, but I would think they would get some of these same privileges too. Our main focus is on light sport aircraft because that's the community of people that we know very well and the regulations that we know very well. But I don't see any reason why, I can't speak for FAA, but I don't see any reason why these same privileges shouldn't be extended to them. Now, that said, for example, single lever control requires an engine with an electronic control unit to have the information needed to tell the prop where to be. and an older legacy aircraft might not have that on it.
Well, I'm thinking of something like a Cessna 150, which is around 1,600 to 1,700 pounds, depending on the model. So if that formula pushes these airplanes out into that way, well, then it possibly or potentially becomes an airplane that's flyable under sport pilot.
That seems entirely logical to me, Paul. I don't know why that wouldn't happen.
Is that a good thing?
I think so, yes, sure. Anything that puts more people in the air and keeps them in the air and keeps the activity going on is good for this entire industry. So, yes, always when you make changes, somebody may be hurt somehow. It may impact some manufacturer of some product. But anytime you make changes, some of those things are going to occur. As far as I'm concerned, we want the pie to be bigger, and then everybody figures out how to get their piece of it.
Yeah, I guess I should have put that question in context, because as more legacy airplanes are flyable under the sport pilot rule, theoretically, fewer people would be interested in new light sports.
Well, that may be, Paul, but more people flying because, oh, I can put my 150 into service under light sport rules, or however they would describe that. Just means that that person is now flying again, and that person may then wear that airplane out and sell it to somebody else, or may decide, hey, you know, I'd like something that's a little faster than this or has more space inside it. Yes, it may, again, impact some producers. They may sell an airplane or two less because the guy kept his one or the gal kept their 150. On the other hand, that person is now active again, and that means more people participating, and in the long run, the pie gets bigger.
As far as new sport aircraft are concerned, if we're going up to, let's just pick a number, it's 1650 or maybe even closer to 1700. So manufacturers, that gives them some pretty good potential by the sounds of it.
Well, not only more capability for the airplane, but more robustness to the airplane. You can make landing gear sturdier because you're not trying to shave a little bit to stay within this tight parameter of a fixed weight number. Or you can make the nose wheel stronger. Or you can use a different kind of engine that you think is better for long duty in, let's say, flight schools and so forth. So not only being able to carry more stuff and having a larger, more comfortable airplane, but one that will stand the test of time longer, too.
Okay, let's segue into gyroplanes and the, as far as I'm concerned, seemingly endless effort to get gyroplanes in the U.S. Approved in such a way that they're similar to Europe.
Well, and that is definitely one of the goals. It is definitely absolutely on their list. However, we are still having some struggles with that, no question about it. Here's the main thing that sells the idea, though, is look, if you allow fully built gyroplanes, then you can have, under the SLSA regulation, the special certificate that they get, then you can have paid flight instruction. Then these people learn how to fly these aircraft better. The building of the aircraft is not such a big deal. The kits are down pretty good, and some manufacturers may even continue to make a kit version, an ELSA version of their SLSA, because maybe that works for their business model. But they would now be able to make an SLSA they could sell to someone who wanted to do flight instruction for hire in these aircraft, and that's a big deal.
Well, what about just an SLSA to fly? So I want to go out and buy one so I can fly it. When's that going to become a reality?
Again, it's all in that same 3 to 5 year time frame, except we have submitted a business case to FAA at their request, I should add, that says here's a program that we could use in the meantime to allow these people to go ahead and do it. Now, once you allow somebody to do that, FAA can't just take that back, so they'll look at that very carefully, we know, but we believe that we can get them to do this in the meantime, again, to collect the data that says these aircraft can be operated successfully in this environment. Currently, FAA has said for years that we don't have enough data about these airplanes. We can't, the older style, what some people call gyrocopter, although that's a brand name, the older version of these airplanes did have a somewhat troubled safety record, no question. The new ones don't, but they said we don't have any data on the new ones. So our plan hopefully will give them the data they need to say, yes, we can go forward with this.
Expanded commercial use of light sport.
Arguably the biggest thing in our list here, we went to them saying we want aerial work, which we thought was a little bit of a softer term. Commercial use implies passenger and cargo hauling, and that's not what we're asking for. We don't want to be in Class B airspace with these aircraft all the time, not that kind of thing. But there's a lot of activities that could be done successfully by a light sport aircraft, fuel efficient, quiet, long range, so on. For example, pipeline patrols, forestry surveys, those kinds of work where a drone really can't do it real well because it's long distance perhaps, and currently we're limited to line of sight on those machines. But flying a helicopter to do this, very expensive. We have a lower cost way, an ecologically friendly way of doing this. We think there's a lot of opportunity there. And we said, look, folks, in FAA, you are already giving privileges to drones, I'll call it generically, drones to go do this same activity that we think we should be able to do too. We've proved ourselves over 14 years. Our safety record is, it's not perfect, of course, but it's not bad. Even they acknowledge that. And we said, we've kept our nose clean, we've passed the audits, we've done the things you asked us to do. We think we deserve this privilege, the same one you're giving to drones, and FAA concurred.
And do you think it could be as long as 5 years before this happens?
Before the regulation is done out there and implemented and in place and you can use it, I wouldn't be at all surprised. But and that's why we said, look, we're a 14-year-old industry. We don't want to wait 5 years for you to make regulation change, even if we love the changes. We'd like something sooner, and here's our plan, and you need the data, so work with us. And I have to say, in FAA's credit, they have been much more responsive and much more amenable to these ideas than I ever expected.
Last, electric airplanes. We are slowly stumbling along towards a definition of electric airplanes that may make it possible to actually have a legal electric LSA.
That's where we're going. Obviously, we know they're operating now. Some countries are already permitting them. We know these things actually work. Lighter aircraft can use batteries or a hybrid system easier than a heavier aircraft, so they're the logical place to start the real learning about these things. Why not do that in light sport, which is ready, has an ASTM standard already done, already balloted successfully, so that manufacturers know how to meet the standards that FAA will accept.
Same timeline on that?
Same timeline on that, too, but with the interim period, this program that ALAMA has proposed to, again, accumulate data so they can make a good case for it.
Okay, well, thanks for this update, Dan. I think it looks like we're making progress, especially that weight thing is very interesting.
I'm so pleased about it, Paul. We've been working on this 4.5 years. That seems like kind of a long slog, but FAA listened all the way, and now suddenly we are in motion on this thing. Faster and better than I thought, and all kudos to the folks at FAA that are doing that.
This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from AirVenture 2018. We've been talking with Dan Johnson of the Light Aircraft Manufacturers Association. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to AvWeb's audio coverage of AirVenture 2018, avweb.com, world's premier independent aviation news resource.